Hello guys, on today's podcast we'll be talking to Paolo Adorno, CTO of the world's largest stablecoin, USDT. He'll be talking to us about what stablecoins are, how they work, and the challenges USDT has faced over the years. Enjoy.
So first of all, I understand the skepticism because in the end, with FTX and all the craziness that happened last year, the job of the educator is not easy. Right. So you have to try to explain to people that, few bad apples are not representing, technology, are not representing, the beauty of the idea behind blockchain, behind cryptocurrencies in general. And also, we have seen a lot of speculation in cryptocurrencies, in the cryptocurrencies industry. But the beauty of stablecoins and like USDT, Tether, is that it's not about speculation, right? So USDT is just a way to transact dollars. So, and the name stablecoin is something that we gave to this type of technology that nowadays is going to be used also by central banks, right? Tether was the first stablecoin born in 2014. And now this technology is being adopted by all the central banks that like the European Central Bank that is looking at creating the digital euro and so on. So we as Tether know exactly how a stablecoin should be done because ours have been remaining stable since the last 8 years, right? So the approach that we took was creating a stablecoin that was backed by extremely liquid assets in the currency that was backing the stablecoin. So, and was representing the stablecoin. So,
could you say that again?
So, we as Tether realized that the most important feature of a stablecoin is to give back the money. When people want the money back, you have to give back the money. So, in order to do that, the only way is to have as your reserves, right? So the things that you hold in a bank account, you need to have assets that represent the currency that the stablecoin is into. So if you had a US dollar based stablecoin like USDT, you cannot have, Luna, or you cannot have something else. Like you can have like oil as a reserve. Right, you now need to have U.S. Treasury bills. You need to have cash deposits. You need to have safe liquid investments that represent the dollar. So, because whatever happens, you need to be able to fulfill redemptions in dollars. So that's what we did. And the beauty of it is that and again to respond to the skepticism of people you talked to, is Tether did something that no bank, other stablecoin, but not even any bank in the world was able to do. Last year, you well remember Terra Luna, was May 2022. And after Terra Luna, the market panicked. And so Tether, since Tether is the biggest gateway in when it comes to fiat money in the crypto industry, Tether, a lot of people wanted to redeem Tethers. There was a lot of FUD as well. So Tether was able to redeem $7 billion, $7 billion with a B, in 48 hours. So that was 10% of our reserves. In, in the history of traditional finance, right, there was one single situation in the last 30 years where a bank that was regulated was Washington Mutual in Washington was subject to 10% of redemptions in 10 days. So we did in 2 days, but they did in 10 days, but they went bankrupt because they couldn't fulfill, couldn't give back all the money to their, or even 10% of the money to their customers. And that was the biggest bank run of the recent banking industry. Now, go to the people that you know and ask them, go to your bank and ask back. Imagine that all you, your friends, your families go to the same bank, ask back for all your money and make it 5%, just 5% of all the money that the bank holds. You will see that the bank refuses to give you back the money because they likely not be able to fulfill your demand. Look at what is happening in Lebanon. Lebanon people are trying to raid the banks because the banks are not giving back their money anymore, right? And it's just, you know, they are asking 5-10% of the money back. And so Tether, in 1 month, in 30 days, was able to process $20 billion with a B in 30 days. That was 25% of our reserves. It's not that we have, it's not anymore about like DApps or FUD or so. We had actual facts in our hand. We have customers that were able to redeem and much more than what they could have done with traditional banking. And we can redeem until the last cent in Tether. That's the beauty of it. And we have additional reserves that we put and we accrued over time with good business in order to protect Tether even further. Because we realized how Tether is important for Africa, but also for South America, for Central America, for Turkey, and for Asia. So everyone is using Tether. So we have the utmost respect for the importance of Tether, and we don't want to let anyone down. So that's why we really do care about to make it extremely stable and liquid.
Interesting. Well, that's a really interesting viewpoint, and I think I don't think I've ever seen or read or seen anyone talk about what happened with the old thing like that last year. And that it's interesting that you brought that up, because that was actually going to be my next question, right? After the old Luna thing happened and the market panicked, I think that was a time I actually asked my company, right? They were going to receive a payment from abroad, and I told them, why not use USDT? It's seamless. It works. And that was the time the old Luna thing happened, and I think we saw USDT fall slightly, I think, by 0.5% then. And they were like, but you said this thing is, it's rock solid, right? So I want to understand what exactly happened then, and how was Tether able to survive that?
Sure. So first of all, that is a really interesting point, right? So let's discuss about the difference between the value on secondary market, like exchanges, and the actual value of Tether. So Tether always honored redemptions at $1, right? So you come with your Tether tokens to our platform, that is the primary market. You sign up, you want to do the redemption. We pay back $1 for every single USDT token that you send to us. Then there are the secondary markets that are the exchanges. On the exchanges, Tether doesn't have any control. That are open markets, and people can sell Tethers at any value, right? And so it was public information that because these are open markets, right? There was public information, Fear3 and a few other hedge funds. They didn't believe that Tether had all the money. So what they did was trying to sell large quantities. We are talking about hundreds of millions of dollars of USDT from companies like, maybe Genesis, maybe others, and sell these USDT tokens subpar, so below $1 on the secondary market, to cause an issue, to cause a bank run. That's how we end up redeeming $7 billion. Because they were creating an artificial pressure on USDT on these secondary markets. And so when you do that, you push arbitrageurs, market makers, to buy these cheap debtors on these secondary markets and go to the primary market and redeem, and so on and so forth. So if a company like Tether wouldn't have all the money, then you create a huge issue, because you could demonstrate that a stable coin doesn't have all the reserves. But it happened that they just showed that Tether had all the reserves. So for us, although it was an extremely stressful moment, that was the best moment in the history of Tether. They proved, although they wanted to prove the opposite, they proved that Tether had all the money because Tether was able to redeem $20 billion in 30 days and $7 billion in 48 hours. So they pushed the price of Tether a little bit down, but then it recovered. So they lost money. And you know what is the poetry around that? Is that most of the companies that were lending the Tethers to the shorters, to the short sellers, went bankrupt because they filed bankruptcy in the last few months, right? So we are seeing Genesis Trading. We have seen, you know, many of these companies. They were engaged in these weird attacks, and then they went belly up. So you should, before attacking a company like Tether, you should really make sure you understand how it works, because we are solid and we are resilient, and we prove that since 8 years.
Interesting, very interesting stuff. Wow. So, yeah, I think it's really enlightening to know, you know, what really happened then, and I think the fact that Tether was able to survive that actually shows that, you know, in fact, you did have, you know, the backing that, you know, you say you have. So I think another thing, I think I'm envisioning, say, something else that could be a potential trouble for Tether, right? I think there was a time, I think the Tether pegged to it, I think, I can't remember the currency now, but I think it's a South American currency that launched recently. I think it's a Mexican, I think it's the pesos, right?
Mexican pesos, yes.
Yes, yeah. So I'm thinking if Tether pegs with more currencies, won't central banks of those countries have an issue with Tether? So say you peg with, I'm in Nigeria, right? So I'm spending Naira. So say we now have Tether pegged with the Naira, right? And it's really easy, it's fast, and everyone decides, you know what? I don't need a bank account anymore. I can just use my Trust Wallet and we can transfer Tether, like buy something from you. Maybe Tether, inspect to the Naira, right? And then we just keep doing it like that. And you know, banks start to, you know, they will feel the pressure, right? Because it essentially means transfer charges, and it, you know, they make money through all this. You know, they make money by people using their services, right? So, do you think does it make sense? Do you think this is something that could actually be an issue?
Well, keep in mind that Tether does a really good job in talking to regulators and talking to central banks. So even for the case of Mexican pesos, we had, of course, a discussion with the regulators, and we analyzed the situation before doing that, right? So we are extremely, extremely careful before taking any decision. So we don't want to overstep, but at the same time, we want to work with regulators and the banking industry to make sure that we are considered good actors. Keep in mind that Tether is a centralized stablecoin and using the banking sector to work, because it's received money through the banking sector and pays out money through the banking sector. So our role is actually maintaining a great relationship. So with both the regulators, law enforcement, and banking.
Awesome. All right. So you also mentioned something about people redeeming actual US dollars from Tether. What is the process of this? I think I've heard of it before, but I've never actually tried it. So what's the process like?
So as I said, there are two markets. One is the primary market. So there is a platform called Tether.io. You go there. There is a minimum threshold that is quite high. So it's not retail friendly, because we found that regulators prefer to have only institutions and accredited investors to actually be onboarded on the main private market. That so the threshold is $100,000. So you can open an account. First of all, there is a thorough KYC and AML process because, again, for us, the most important thing is that we comply with all the regulations and we comply with all the requirements that the banking industry has. Then you can wire money and we will send.
Okay, go on.
No, you can wire money and we will get back to your get back to your blockchain address USDT. Then if you want to redeem, you send USDT and you can get back your dollars in the bank account. That is the primary market. The secondary market instead is you can use exchanges. You can use, you know, there is Bitfinex, there is Kraken, there is Bitstamp, there is Binance. All support they have at USDT, USD pair. So you can actually convert dollars into or in any other, well, USDT in any currency and withdraw.
Interesting. All right. So the creators of this regulation, you know, for the primary market, where are they from? Is it the US government? Is it financial institutions from the US? Who are they?
So of course, we are working as a company in tens of different jurisdictions, right? So for example, we collaborate with the U.S. law enforcement and regulators. We are working, depending on our customer base, of course, we have to have different discussions with the local regulators. It's normal, but also we are establishing ourselves. We are working to acquire licenses in key jurisdictions, so for us to operate safely. So we have, of course, to comply and this work with law enforcement all around the world, right? So imagine just this, right? Just this one simple, you know, number. Tether was able to, working with law enforcement and with its community, was able to return more than $200 million to their legitimate users. As part of, you know, investigations and as part of, you know, collaborations with both the community and law enforcement. Tether was able to help in the biggest hacks of DeFi, biggest hacks of, you know, the DeFi bridges and other cryptocurrencies. And some exchanges were hacked. Tether always worked and collaborated with law enforcement in any jurisdiction to make sure that the money would return to the legit owners. So that's the type of work we are doing, right? As a company, you know, blockchain is across border. So we have to be ready to work with everyone that comes to us and ask for help and ask for questions, of course, ask for guidance. That's what we do. For guidance.
All right. Yeah. So as regulators from Africa or from any country in Africa reached out, or is there anything regulatory wise that you're working on with Africa currently?
So far, we didn't have in-depth discussions with any regulator in Africa, but we expect to be part of discussions to explain how the technology works and how this can be leveraged for in Africa. So we're always open to, and it's possible that we are reaching out ourselves in order to, again, for us being considered a good actor, can explain how exactly we plan to proceed to make sure that we are doing in accordance to the local laws.
Okay, all right, thank you. So recently, the Nigerian Central Bank, for example, they released a report called the, I think something called the Future of Payments, right, for 2025. And in that report, they said they will be looking into, you know, doing something around stable coins, you know, finding a way to regulate them. Because obviously, they are a futuristic, you know, form of payments. And, you know, not to be left behind, they would like to, you know, work together with the SEC to see what they can come up with, you know, in terms of regulation. So for you personally, what do you think, you know, properly regulated stable coins should look like in every country? Or what do you envision, you know, what kind of relationship do you envision for Tether and regulatory bodies in Africa, or you know, basically anywhere.
So I think that the most important aspect of discussing with the regulator and looking for good regulations, right? Good regulations are the ones that, of course, protect the customer, because that is the most important thing. But at the same time, they also give to the technology a way to keep growing and innovate, because without that, if you harm the innovation, then you get left behind. So our work as Tether is actually explain how the technology works. And even help, we are in discussion with some governments and central banks to help them to issue their own digital currency. It's not that we want to do it everything ourselves, right? So we are a successful company, and we are actually driven by the Bitcoin ethos. We believe that we believe in financial freedom. And so we believe that it's important for people to leverage and capitalize on the technology. We don't want to have full control over the technology. That's why we are creating Holepunch, why we are creating Pete. These peer-to-peer, you know, applications that are and frameworks that help people to communicate freely with no cost, right? We are not making any money. It's free of charge. It's fully open source. It's because we believe that it's important to help and to grow communities. Otherwise, there will be like a, we cannot allow the deep to create differences in different areas of the world in terms of wealth and education and the opportunities and. The world is global, right? So we completely crashed in the last 30 years the boundaries between, you know, continents and countries. And so it's important that also from the technological standpoint, everyone is aligned. So as Tether, we are always helpful and trying to be helpful in also helping government design their own digital currencies, if that is what is required, as well as we also advise on good regulations. To us, good regulations are clear requirements in terms of assets that you can hold as part of your service, and clear laws on how you can operate in a specific country. So that is really important, because Tether created this entire industry. But there were no, at the beginning, there were no rules, right? So we had to figure out everything ourselves. We had to keep asking questions. And many times there were no answers. There no one knew how to answer to our questions. And so now, hopefully after 8 years that Tether was invented, we are seeing countries finally looking at this technology and understanding how important it is in being willing, being interested to regulate. So for us, it's a big win.
All right. Yeah. So I just want to know for Tether, for you and Tether, you know, as a team, the entire Tether team, what's that vision that you have? What is that peak that you want to get to? What's that thing that makes you feel, okay, yes, we've finally done it? What exactly is the mission, the ultimate goal for Tether?
Well, I've been traveling a lot in South America, but we also participated as a team. I couldn't be there, but we had good friends and team members being part of the Ghana Bitcoin Conference. And we have seen Tether being used, for example, we have seen shops in Argentina, in Uruguay, in Brazil, in Turkey, in Ghana, in Nigeria, in Georgia, in Lebanon, with the Tether sign, and, you know, shops, barber shops, grocery shops, the grocery stores, they had a sticker of Tether on the door, and we never did any marketing there. So the best feeling to me is we created technology that is successful, not because of marketing, but it's because it's useful to people. It's solving a real problem. It's solving a problem of protecting people from the deflation, from the devaluation of their national currency. So to me is the best result that a person, that an entrepreneur could achieve.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Yeah. So, I don't know if it's possible for you to talk about some of these countries that you're working on a CBDC with.
It's not public yet, so I prefer to not say it. All right, I understand. That's absolutely fine.
All right. So really interesting conversation so far. I think I'm sure by the time, hopefully I'm able to relay everything you've said so far in the simplest way possible and the clearest way possible. So tough people, this is what USDT is, this is what keeps it stable, this is how it works. Thank you very much for your time, and this has been a really interesting conversation. I hope you found it great as well.
Absolutely, I really enjoyed our conversation, but when I think is, you know, what you're doing in terms of education is extremely important.
Just before we round up, you know, about, you know, and I think you've mentioned it, you know, a little bit when, you know, when we're answering other questions, but I just want you to, you know, touch on it more squarely, you know, and it's that how do you envision, you know, financial inclusion for, how do you envision USDT enabling financial inclusion for Africa?
Yes, so the, you know, the world has 2 billion people that are unbanked. And it's actually the goal of Tether USDT is not being the best buddy of Wall Street, right? So we don't care about Wall Street. We don't care about servicing, you know, the wealthy traders in the ivory towers, right? So what we do care is to help solving the unbanked problem, right? So all these people, all these communities, they don't have bank accounts, not because they are bad people, but because they are too poor to have a bank account. And that is extremely saddening if you think about it. It's crazy even to be said, right? You are too poor just to be able to have access to financial services. And so I believe that Tether, you know, since Tether is money on a smartphone, right? That can keep it, you can keep all control over your own money. You can keep it on your smartphone. You can keep it on your computer, no matter what. So that is the future of financial freedom to me, is the future of financial inclusion. So you can actually interact with whomever you want. You can send money to your friends, to your family, and just cost, I mean, a few cents in transaction fees. So it will completely revolutionize the way people access to finance, do transfer, do, you know, borrow money for their activities, and so on and so forth. So that is our goal, right? So luckily, our competitors are focusing on, you know, being, you know, trying, they want to integrate themselves with Wall Street and the, you know, and what Wall Street represents. But for us, it's different. We want actually, we don't want to have anything to do with that. We want actually to look at, you know, people that have real problems.
All right. Yeah. And one thing I just like to, I think, yes, that could actually be a road to, you know, full financial inclusion sometime in the future. But I think, maybe because, you know, a lot of people are not Africans per se, and sometimes, you know, when you're not on ground, you don't really understand, you know, what's going on here. And I think, yes, while USDT could actually do that, why cryptocurrencies, you know, at large can actually, you know, make financial inclusion easier, because getting an account is it's just that simple, right? Like, you can do it just like that. One obstacle to that is that a lot of Africans still do not have smartphones, right? It's the smartphone penetration is increasing, you know, every year we see it, you know, getting better because smartphones are becoming cheaper, right? But I think by the time we have enough people with smartphones, by the time we have smartphones that are affordable enough for, you know, every African to get, I think, yeah, we might actually see that future where, you know, everyone can just send USDT, yeah,
Look, I studied a lot
problem.
the I study a lot the concept of phone credit as a way of money and so on. So I understand how it works, but at the same time, I also don't pretend to know Africa, of course, as well as you, for example, or anyone living there. So we are, of course, interested to help, and we are exploring. We want to grow. We with Africa, it's not like we pretend to know everything, and we pretend to impose our our solution. So for us, again, is as easy as we want to collaborate. We are excited about technology. We build technology ourselves. We are building, among the best technology when it comes to communications, also to facilitate to improve the quality of internet in areas that don't have a great internet. So we put ourselves at work, right? So we are not really VCs. We are just passionate people that want to do cool stuff, and that's about it. So that's why we are excited to start stepping more and more in Africa, because we believe that we can be helpful, and at the same time we can learn ourselves, right? So it's a mutual improvement, because we like to keep learning, we like to keep understanding how people live, what people need, and so on.
Awesome. Yeah, and I'm sure you know. Yeah, I'm sure we'll see more collaborations between USDT, probably even with regulators, and you know we'll see more things going on with cryptocurrency and Africa and USDT. Hopefully, yeah. So I think it has been a great conversation so far. I think you know. When people listen to this, read this, or see this, I'm sure they can begin to fathom exactly what it is stablecoins, you know, hope to achieve, and maybe finally give, you know, stablecoins a chance, and you know, and let it help them ease, you know, the problems when it comes to cross-border transactions. So, thank you very much for taking our time to do this. I'm sure you have an amazingly busy schedule. I can imagine, you know, running Bitfinex, doing USDT must be really tough. Yeah, but thank you so much.
But I really do appreciate our conversation. Well, so thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe.